There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Okay, that's how we'll start. It's Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Hey, y'all. My name is Sean. Glad you're here. And phone number, text line, same digits, 343-0106, 343-0106. Lots to do on today's show. I'm glad you're here. We'll work it backwards here. Work it backwards, and then we count it down to where we are now. So in the next hour, the 1 o'clock hour of the show, our buddy Cam Barston from What's Working is going to join us. We'll talk to Cam about an interview he did with an economist out of New Orleans about the tariffs and also about the stock market. Pretty interesting conversation coming up tonight. He'll preview that with us coming up at 1:30 today. Talk entrepreneurs as well in our area. And in the first part of the 1 o'clock hour, it's going to be fun. I talked this morning about that earthquake in Tennessee. You know, it's a 4.4 magnitude earthquake that struck eastern Tennessee. So no, not the New Madrid fault line that started that made Real Foot Lake over in western Tennessee. This is eastern Tennessee, like Fort Loudoun area, Knoxville, Merville, as people there call it, Maryville or Merville. That part of just west of Great Smoky Mountains National Park. It was enough, though, that there were reports of people feeling the quake in North Alabama, North Georgia Mountains, down to Atlanta, and, of course, in East Tennessee, and actually registered on seismographic equipment here in Mobile at the University of South Alabama. And talk about this coming up in just a little bit. What about earthquakes here in the Southeast? I mean, we think about all the we're looking at hurricanes or tornadoes or things that might be an issue for us down here. But what about an earthquake? Doesn't seem to be a thing for the Southeast, but there is definitely history, and there are fault lines in our area. So we're going to talk about that coming up at 1 o'clock as we get somebody who knows a lot about it. Dr. Alex Beebe, Assistant Professor of Environmental Geology, Hydrology, and Geophysics at the University of South Alabama. He joins us at 1. So earthquakes will be the subject at that point. Also coming up this hour, how many times have we talked about the gas tax thing, right? We talked about it a couple years ago. Now it's back. You've got Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh saying this is going to be a thing. You have Speaker McCutcheon in the House saying it's going to be a thing for 2019 session. Governor Ivey says there's something has to be done. They're all on board. Is cement already dry on this thing? And what are we talking about when we talk about a gas tax? How much? Who collects it? Who gets the money? Where does it go through? We'll talk about that with Sonny Brasfield. We'll join us shortly. He's with the Association of County Commissions of Alabama. He is pro-gas tax, as he has been in the past on the show with us, and we'll bounce around some ideas and get your questions as well. So that's coming up. And also in news here from Mobile, I got a note here from Laura Byrne over the city. Said, I'm calling this the post-retreat presser. I love the fact that they got retreats. Don't we need retreats? We need some retreats with the radio station. Got a note here from the city. Said, please join Mayor Stimson and the city council for brief remarks today following their joint retreat. So now you have a situation where you have active lawsuit between the mayor and the city council, but they went on a retreat. Maybe they worked things out. I think it'd be a lot cheaper for we the taxpayers here in Mobile. And if you come through here and spend money and pay our 10 cents, 10% sales tax here, the extra penny. We appreciate it. Thank you for contributing to what has become a fund to finance attorneys. So maybe they came up with some way at the retreat. Maybe they played a game of Red Rover capture the flag. I don't know. Maybe they settled the score without the attorneys coming in. But there's a press conference coming up at 5 this afternoon down at Government Plaza at the atrium there, where they're going to talk about brief remarks from after their retreat today. Okay, so that went on. And then, of course, the big national story happening here within the last hour. Michael Cohen, President Donald Trump's former personal lawyer, has now been sentenced to 3 years in prison. Get more on this from Westwood One's Steve Kastenbaum.
Michael Cohen will voluntarily surrender to be taken to prison on March 6th. His wife and children were inside the courtroom and listened as the judge said Cohen should have known better, that he had lost his moral compass. When it came time for Cohen to speak, he said President Trump was right when he tweeted that his former lawyer was weak, but not for the reasons the president had implied. Cohen said it was because blind loyalty led him to believe that it was his duty to cover up for Mr. Trump's dirty deeds. Cohen said the people of the nation deserve better. They deserve to know the truth, and he apologized for what he did. Steve Kastenbaum at federal court in Manhattan.
All right, and no comment there from Cohen as he left the courtroom, went straight to the waiting vehicle. So we'll get a chance later on in the show, may talk more about that. I would suggest, though, maybe we need to start changing the vernacular. I mean, I grew up saying moral compass, but these days, really, I mean, I've had the Cub Scouts out the other day. Compass, and teaching them the compass, but it's kind of a throwback. Moral GPS, moral Google Maps, would that be better? Just start using that instead of moral compass? All right, Sonny Bradfield joins us next right here on Midday Mobile. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1216, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Like it, it's a turning point in the week. Dr. Bill has a good weekend for us. You see, it was what the last couple weekends have been. Last couple weeks have been nice during the week and raining on the weekend. At least we're going to get the rain out of the way tomorrow into Friday morning, it looks like. And then nice by the weekend. More with staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams. That's coming up around 12:35. Also, a lot of people checking in on the text line. Thank you. Suggesting maybe moral triangulation versus moral compass. I was just thinking moral GPS. Let's get with the times here. You know, you have a discussion of Cohen's moral compass and the judge talking about that. Let's get with the times. Moral GPS or moral Google Maps or something like that. Also, speaking of the text line, too, people still putting their suggestions, their nominations in for Alabamian of the Year. Yeah, keep it up. You can do it through the text line at 343-0106. You can also check in on our Facebook page where we have a pinned status about that, or my Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. Remember, Alabamian that most, well, Alabamian of the Year is that person, that group. Yes, y'all have put critters in there again. Critter that most influenced the news cycle in 2018. It's not always, it's fine if it's positive. I like that. I'm a positive guy. But sometimes it's not a positive person. Or sort of just like, this is just a more efficient down-home version of Times, you know, Person of the Year. We do Alabamian of the Year. So, and it actually can be somebody who's not from here, but what they did influence the news cycle. So keep those up. This is the last week of nominations. We start seeding the brackets March Madness style next week. We run it through the end of the month when we award the Alabamian of the Year. All right, I've mentioned coming up here, and this is a subject that's back on the show. If we went in the time machine, we could probably find a time not too far in the past, maybe a couple years, that Sonny Bradfield and I were discussing gas taxes. He's executive director with the Association, and get this right here, the Association of County Commissions of Alabama. Am I close, Sonny? Is it?
Perfect.
Okay, good.
Almost everyone misses it. You win.
Oh, good, good, good. So I've got that. And thanks for being on and welcome back.
Well, I appreciate it very much. And thanks to the one lunatic who voted for me for Alabamian of the Year.
So. Listen, we'll put you back on the list. You're repeating here. We talked about this a couple years ago. And I want to start off with a discussion of the infrastructure grade, if I remember correctly, you and I were talking about the grade given to the infrastructure in the state of Alabama. That's roads and bridges, et cetera, correct?
That's right. That's right.
And how did we do on our report card?
Well, it's been 2 years since we talked, and I appreciate the chance to talk back with you again about this issue. It continues to be of real importance to our state. I think what we talked about a couple of years ago was a grade that's issued by a national kind of engineering council that looks at all kinds of factors, traffic, delay, automobile repairs, fatalities, congestion, all kinds of things. And our grade back then was a C-, and we've not improved very much. We've studied hard and taken some more tests, but we're still very, very much a very low C student.
And we, you know, a lot of us will notice the roadway thing is something that I think all of us can probably give you an anecdote on. This road is not good, or the potholes here, or this kind of thing. But there was a lot more to it. When we talked last time, we were talking about the bridges and what was going on underneath those bridges here in Alabama, and also places in the state where there were once bridges that people traversed. Now, even if the bridge is still there, they're not allowed to go across it with like a school bus or something like that.
That's right. Our bridge system in Alabama, now we are, I guess we're very blessed. We have a lot of water resources in Alabama, and those resources have had a lot to do with our growth, both economically and otherwise. But we've not done a very good job taking care of those bridges. Yesterday I was talking with a House member up in North Alabama, and he had spoken with his local superintendent of education up there, and he said the school buses in their district spend more than 30,000 miles a year detouring around closed bridges. We've made some progress on bridges. Things would be a whole lot worse if it were not for two big programs in the last 20 years. Back in 2000, the voters approved a bridge bond issue by state referendum. We replaced 597 bridges, county bridges then. And the ATRIP program, people probably remember that acronym. It was a federal bond issue that the state of Alabama issued for primarily for county roads and bridges. We did another couple of hundred bridges in that program, but we still have a huge backlog of bridges in Alabama. In fact, we have almost 4,000 bridges that the counties maintain that are more than 50 years old. We maintain a total of 8,600 bridges, and essentially 4,000 of those, 4,000, are more than 50 years old.
And obviously, Sonny, that's something you're tasked with, working with the county commissions from around the state of Alabama. And so how is that going to be addressed? That's addressed just like we talked about 2 years ago, right? The idea is to address it with an increase in the gas tax.
That's right. One of the things we've looked at since you and I talked last is we just completed and released it last week, a survey of all 67 county engineering departments. And it's things we'll be providing to legislators and news media around the state and others is, how do we spend our money now? And if we do nothing in Alabama, we continue not to address this issue, what happens? As I said, we've got almost 4,000 bridges that are more than 50 years old. If we don't generate new money, the 67 county engineers estimate that we will replace less than 200 of those bridges in the next 5 years.
Wow.
So what that means is we'll have 3,700 bridges that'll be 55 years old 5 years from now. And school buses cross those every day, people who are harvesting timber, the farmers in this state that really depend on those bridges. It doesn't make much sense to me that we continue to do nothing. So,
and we're going to get to the why. You talk about, and even though, there's plenty of counties that have both a urban and rural component in our state, for sure. Heck, there's, I'm sitting here in the city limits of Mobile, and somewhere in this county, there's probably multiple crews logging right now, and there were, a month ago, there were people bringing cotton and peanuts out, so I get it. But this gas tax issue, and I want to kind of get into what it may look like, and then talk about that, the question, what might I see be contentious in session this year, is who gets what money, right? Where it's collected and where it goes.
Absolutely. And in this business, that really, when I say that, I mean the making of public policy, whether we're talking about education, a state lottery, money for infrastructure, prisons, any of those issues, the devil in this process is always in the details. It's always difficult to predict how things are going to happen once the legislature gets in session. But we had a very good agreement on these issues in 2017, and I'm confident that everyone will come back around and that agreement will carry the day again. And if it does, what that will mean is that we really shouldn't have much disagreement over how the money's going to be divided. We can talk about that as we go forward, but we can focus more on how's the money going to be spent. One of the things that our association voted on last week was a commitment that, we will only support the bill if the new money is really tied up so that it cannot be spent on salaries, cannot be spent on equipment, cannot be spent on what you call vertical construction. It can only go to roads and bridges. And we think that's very, very important that we say to the people, if you give us this extra money, we will use it only on roads and bridges.
Sonny, give me a, what happened? You know, you and I talked about this a bunch in 2017. You said there was all this agreement, but it wasn't passed. What happened?
Well, you know, hindsight's always 50-50, as Yogi Berra said. So I can Monday morning quarterback what happened during the session, you know, pretty easily now, 2 years away. I think the bottom line was that we were too close to the 2018 election. I think that there were many, many members who support this idea, who understand that there are glaring needs in our infrastructure, and it's not just roads and bridges. Before we conclude, I'd like to talk for a minute about the port down there in Mobile that that I think will be part of this whole program. But I think what did us in 2017 was that you know, there were just a number of members who were not convinced that the public was supportive of this issue. Now, I think that that coin has turned since 2017. All of the surveys that you see, infrastructure is recognized by the public as one of our glaring needs, and they expect that the legislature will do something about it, and hopefully they will.
All right. If you're just joining us, this is a chance. I see some text coming in. I will, your chance to ask questions of Sonny Brassfield. That's fine. We'll do that probably right here after the bottom of the hour break. Executive Director with the Association, the Alabama Association of County Commissions of Alabama. I am getting it right. Now, we talked about this in 2017 or 2016. You pointed out that the last time Alabama had raised the gas tax, I think if I remember correctly, was 92, and that was part of a federal hike too, right?
That's right. And you gave me the chance to tell one of my favorite stories about this. I was a younger guy in 1992. I am, unfortunately, I guess, or fortunately, one of the few people still around in this business in Montgomery who was here in 1992, and the bill was passed on out of the House on a Tuesday in June. On the Sunday before that, our first child was born, and Kathy and I were in the hospital, and I left the hospital Tuesday and came here to the State House to help lobby it. My son's kind of, for me, the poster child of how long we've waited. He was born just 3 days before the bill cleared the House. He'll be 28 this June. So, I really think I'm going to bring him to the State House and say, okay, you want to know how long it's been? He was an infant. He's finished college, bought his first house, you know, got a good job. So I think clearly we've waited long enough.
Okay. So what is that number then? I mean, if we say, okay, it's been since 92, now we need to raise it. How much? I mean, how much do you raise it? And why the number? Whatever that number is, why?
Well, you know, what I've said to a number of people on that question is that, quite honestly, we've waited so long that the numbers are so big that you almost laugh at them when I give them to you, and I'll give you one of those in a second. So more than trying to focus on what do we really need, you know, what we're trying to focus on is saying to the public, we will be accountable. Whatever you will give us, we will be accountable. We will use it in a way that is transparent and that is respectful for the investment that you're willing to make. But let me give you some quick numbers for counties. Counties maintain 60,000 miles of roads. It's about 15 trips from here to Los Angeles, California, and back. That's the road miles that counties in Alabama maintain. The surface that we use has a wearing life of about 15 years. If we put all of our roads on a 15-year recycling system, we need about $600 million a year, okay?
Okay.
Counties receive, counting everything, state gas tax, local gas tax, there are some counties with an ad valorem tax that go to roads. We add all that up, counties get just short of $400 million. Now, that's $400 million in roads and bridges to pay employees, to maintain equipment, to patch potholes, to pay the power bill, and to do resurfacing. If we took all of our money and put it all on resurfacing, we're still $200 million a year short of getting on that 15-year life cycle. So it's hard for me to tell you how much money we need. If I tell you how much we really need to get on the 15-year cycle, you start laughing at me. We're that much in the hole.
Well, this is what happened. I mean, this is what happens when the can gets kicked down the road, right? Eventually, eventually it's this big number. I'll tell you what, we're going to run to the news break. Can you hold on and come right back with us? All right. Coming back, and we'll get some of your text in here and your calls at 343-0106. 343-0106. Sonny Brasfield with the Association of County Commissions of Alabama talking about what has already, this is not a question, I don't think, of something that would come up in session this year. You've heard Speaker McCutcheon, Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh, even the governor referenced that something is going to be done. I mean, we had Speaker McCutcheon quoted here saying this is a thing. This is coming up. It's not. So if it is and the votes are there, what does it look like? You know, the sausage making, when we get the final product out, what does it look like? We'll talk about that when we come back right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Wednesday style. Glad to have you here. Thanks, Ben. Ben sent me an update here from Baldwin EMC. So y'all in Barnwell area. It says Baldwin EMC says we're experiencing an outage at a Barnwell substation, which is affecting approximately 2,600 meters. Areas impacted include Weeks Bay, Fish River, Marianne Beach Road, County Road 32, near the Callahan Airport, among others. Crews are working to get things restored. So that's going on right now. A note there from Baldwin EMC. I'll put the link up on my Twitter feed, at FM Talk 106.5. You can find it right there. Continue our conversation with Executive Director of the Association of County Commissions of Alabama, Sonny Brasfield. And Sonny, we talked about this number. You said if you told me I would laugh, but I'm, you know, I got to get some concrete stuff here. What kind of number are we looking at? I mean, what would fix it?
Well, again, if we got ourselves on a 15-year road replacement cycle and a 50-year bridge cycle, we need an additional $200 million a year, that would also mean we would have to spend all the money that we receive now. No money on employees, no money on upkeep. So, the real number, a realistic number, I think, for us to shoot for is counties. If we could get an additional $100 million a year, I think that would make a huge dent for the general public and would allow us to address some of the most serious needs. Does it get every road fixed? Does it get every bridge replaced? It does not. But I think we're at a place with what we would do at the county level is try to emphasize those projects that have the most direct impact on safety and economic development and that kind of thing.
So how many additional cents per gallon is that?
Well, again, that depends on how you divide the money up. If we go back to 2017 and the agreement that we had then that was really kind of between ALDOT and the counties and the cities on how the money would be divided up, that's an increase of between 7 and 8 cents per gallon gets us to $100 million using the distribution number that we had in 2017.
Okay.
The bill that was before the House in 2017 that for some procedural reasons we never got a vote, that increase was phased in. It was not all immediate. There was a phase in over, I think, 3 years.
How's the mechanism? How does it collect it? I mean, when we go, we pull up, we're filling up the family truckster there. Would it follow that money? How does it get collected? And then who gets it? And then who decides who gets that revenue? How's it distributed? What's the process?
Okay. Well, the statewide gasoline and diesel fuel taxes are actually collected at the terminal rack. That is, the tankers we see on the road or that you may see pulled up at your local gas station filling up the underground tanks. The tax is actually collected before that gasoline is ever leaves the terminal rack. That's the change that we encouraged the legislature to enact about 7 or 8 years ago, and that's helped us on enforcement. Believe it or not, there was at one time in Alabama a big black market for untaxed fuel. We've eliminated most of that. You then pay your taxes. Obviously, it's included in the price that you see on the pump. I think now gas in almost everywhere in Alabama is under $2 a gallon, but included in that amount is the tax. It's remitted to the state. The diesel fuel tax, which is 19 cents per gallon, produces about $8.5 million per penny. That money all goes to ALDOT. There's 18 to be spent on state roads. There's 18 cents per gallon on gasoline. That produces between 23 and 24 million a penny. ALDOT receives all of 5 cents of the 18 cents levy. There's 13 cents that's divided between ALDOT and counties and cities. Cities do not get, honestly, a big cut of the statewide gasoline and diesel fuel tax directly, primarily because cities have the ability to levy their own gasoline taxes. And a big city like Mobile receives a bulk of the impact from state gasoline taxes, because in a given year, about 70% of the money ALDOT spends is spent in urban areas, or urbanized areas is the terminology used in the federal highway legislation.
We're having a little trouble hearing you, Sonny.
I'm sorry.
There we go. So what you said municipalities, cities can levy their own gas tax, but I guess counties can't. Is that?
That's right. That's a long civics lesson, but bottom line is counties are creatures of the state legislature, and the U.S. Supreme Court has said we have only those specific powers that the legislature gives us. And with, except for some local laws that exist in a couple of counties, county government does not in general have any authority to levy a gas tax. So, there are some that have said, well, why don't we just levy our own tax in our county here or there and keep the money ourselves? The answer is counties don't have the ability to levy a gasoline tax.
Okay. And by the way, I have I want to make a note to myself, a wild card gas tax question coming up before we finish up. But I got a lot of text in here, questions for you. This first one, isn't it the ATRIP bond, or wouldn't it be, isn't it the ATRIP bonds that have put us in the situation where we are with the gas tax, in the fact that we have to pay it back?
It's a good question. I mentioned the ATRIP bond issue. Those bonds were floated under a federal program called Garvey, and it's an initial for an acronym for a term that I forget. But the bottom line is we advanced federal monies to be able to expend that money under the ATRIP program. With some exceptions, counties and cities that received the money provided the 20% match. And so in general, the state didn't borrow any of the money to provide the federal match. So the real indebtedness, if there is any, would be at the county or city level if they borrowed money to provide their matching funds. The federal portion is really just means a portion of our federal money is dedicated to pay back the fact that we advanced the ATRIP program.
Another question here on money too. Does your guest support a ban on bonding the gas tax money in the future to make it more like a pay-as-you-go?
Well, that's a debate that that we had in 2017. I will tell you, you probably remember when we talked in 17, the association was a strong advocate for using that money for a bond issue at that time, and the reasons were simple. In 2017, we could have borrowed 20-year bond money for less than 2% at that time, and it's pretty consistent. Road construction goes up every year between 3 and 3.5%, so we could borrow money at less than 2%. Inflation was more than 3%. It's been a long time since I was in graduate business school, but those numbers tell you you should borrow money. Things have flipped today, and it's not nearly as big a slam dunk decision. Our association is not advocating a bond issue here in 2019 as we were in 2017 because of the change in the financial conditions. We probably would not support a ban on a bond issue because we may get in a place where it makes good financial sense. You know, most taxpayers say to people who are running for election at the county level, I want you to run the county like a business. Well, if we run the county like a business, we wouldn't agree that we would never borrow money. We would agree that we would borrow money when it made sense. And so I don't think it makes as much sense today as it did in 2017.
All right. A bunch more texts coming in here, but I have one of my questions here for you, Sonny. How do you address electric vehicles? Because as of today, here we sit on December 12th, is the fewest number of electric cars that we will have in our lifetime, right? I mean, it's not there's tons, but every day there's going to be more and more and more going forward.
Yeah, and it's a super question. The bill in 2017 addressed, alternative fuel vehicles and the electric vehicles being part of that in the same way that they handled it in their recently passed legislation in Georgia. There was an additional tag fee on alternative vehicles that lined up very, very close with the loss in gasoline taxes from those vehicles. So it was about $100 a year for automobiles and individual vehicles, and then for commercial vehicles, I think it was $125. I think might have been $150. It's been a couple of years, but we did have a provision in the 2017 legislation to even the playing field on those vehicles as well.
So you get the money up front.
That's right. That's right. You get the money through a tag fee, and you know there have been those that have said, well, instead of raising the gas tax, why don't you raise the tag fee? Well, there are a couple of reasons why. One of the biggest is that almost 20% of the gasoline bought in Alabama is estimated to be bought by people who don't live in Alabama. And so we don't want to do a tag fee. We want to get that what is essentially free money from our neighbors who are passing through, who are here on vacation, traveling to football games and other things. So we wouldn't want to go to a tag fee for all of the money, but it makes sense, as you said, on those vehicles that are using alternative fuels.
Okay, this is Dell's question. I'm going to ask it. If I screwed up, Dell, I'm sorry, because I don't know all the nomenclature. But he asks, the state wants a 15-year repack cycle plus new construction and maintenance. What is the normal cycle in other states considering our high count of bridges?
I assume he's probably referencing what I said before the break about a 15-year resurfacing cycle.
Repack. Okay, that's what that means. Okay, all right, repack, resurface. Okay.
It is the 15-year cycle that I reference relates to the kind of paving we do on county roads, which in general is different than the kind of paving that's done on interstates. If at the county level we use that paving system, we would not need to resurface in 15 years. It would be more like 20 or 25. Where the county roads are concerned, the 15-year number is pretty consistent in the south. If we travel up north with much more freezing and snow, what that does to the roads, their cycle is less than ours. But in the south, the 15 years is pretty consistent. And bridges really don't impact that. The bridges are, should be on a 40-year cycle, but quite honestly, we're so far behind, we've shifted the discussion to 50 years, just to be honest.
Sonny, okay, so here's the wild card, and this is, I've got a very, very smart audience here, and they think about things a lot of different ways. I got a call yesterday at the end of the show. I was talking about gas tax yesterday, and it was after the show, and the caller said, tell you what, be interested, because in the past I've said if there'd ever be a tax that made some sense to me, it'd be one on usage, and that's why gas taxes, at least I consider, the discussion of these. And this caller said to me, he said, but what about gasoline that's not on road? And, he's the fact that I buy a lot of red dyed diesel for work on a farm over the year, and it's a, different pump, no tax. He said, what about offering gasoline that goes in mowers or ATVs or things like that that don't go on the highways? Would there ever be a chance, if we're going to have this discussion and open all this up for gas taxes, of having some sort of dyed gasoline, untaxed gasoline. Has that discussion ever come up?
Honestly, no. I've been in this process just about too long to brag about it. I've been here since 1983, and that's never really come up. Of course, the dyed diesel and all that, most of that's in federal law, but I think that's something worth talking about. No one has ever brought that up, of course. And one of the issues would be, how would you enforce that? You know, if I'm filling up a 5-gallon can, mm-hmm. and I tell you it's going in my lawnmower, how do you know I'm not taking it home and putting it in my car?
Right. I mean, would it be dyed and undyed? Where, you know, like if I'm running the diesel pickup, and I do the same thing with dyed diesel in my pickup to run on the road, if I do get stopped and they do the old tester there, you know, it's pretty big trouble.
It is a significant fine. I can't tell you what it is. I don't know that off the top of my head, but I do know it is a significant fine for you to essentially run off-road diesel, you know, in an on-road vehicle.
When he asked me, I said, that's something I had never thought about, even though I'm kind of around the dyed diesel a bunch, but I'd never thought about the gasoline thing, so I thought I'd throw it in to the mix and let that be something people will think about. Sonny, what do people need to do who want to get better educated on this before this is being, you know, bandied about during session this year? Is there any place to educate themselves online they could go to about what's proposed?
Sure, there are several places. I'm going to take me a minute here on my computer to tell you where those places are real fast. But
okay.
While I'm pulling that up, if I can tell you one other thing that I had mentioned, and that is that this discussion has moved beyond just roads and bridges. For the last year, we've really had leaders all over the state in Montgomery working on task forces created by Senate President Pro Tem Del Marsh, and it's been expanded to the whole discussion of infrastructure. And one of the things that has been discussed has been the needs of the port, specifically, you know, the deepening of the port and the impact that could have on the economy of the state of Alabama, all the way from Huntsville all the way down to the coast. And I would say that issue is very, very much on the table, and I would encourage folks in Mobile to just know that the folks who represent them in Montgomery are working very hard to have that included, and I think the reception so far has been very, very good.
It seems like that's something that, I mean, while it makes a lot of sense to us, maybe we need to get the message out elsewhere in the state with widening and deepening the Panama Canal and the size of ships that could now come into our port. I mean, that's a big deal for the rest of the state, not just for people in Mobile and Baldwin counties.
That's right. And the impact, again, that Mobile and that port has on our economy today is staggering. But what we could do if we're able to make the improvements, and I'm not an expert on that by any means. I sat in on a couple of task force meetings, and again, there's very, very strong support for that. A couple of places online, if you'll go online and just Google Fix Our Roads Alabama, you'll find a website as well as a Facebook and Twitter information that carries all kinds of information on the issue. And then if you go to our website, which is easy, it's just alabamacountiesalltogether.org, you'll find information on the program as well as the new study that we have not completely released yet, but that we discussed with our membership last week. That data and presentation is up there as well. So and if you go there, you'll be able to reach me and shoot me an email, and I'll be happy to respond to anyone who has any questions. This is a vitally important issue, in my opinion, to our state's future, and we want everybody to have a chance to be involved, but we're committed to succeeding this session.
As always, thank you for your time. We'll have to have you back on soon. Thank you, Sonny.
Thank you very much, Sean. Take care.
All right, you too. Sonny Brasfield with the Association of County Commissions of Alabama. We're coming right back. More Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:56, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Big thanks, Sonny Brasfield, for coming on. He'll be back on with us, I can guarantee it, especially when we're in session starting in early March of next year. So many cans kicked down the big road of Montgomery in the 2018 session that we'll be dealing with come this year. It's going to be interesting. I mean, the lottery, you have, I keep doubling down on this, tripling down, whatever it is, every time down I am on this, pointing out, because it just still leaves me a little slack-jawed, if you had a time machine to fly back a decade or so, and I were to tell you, yeah, you know what, in the future, there will be a Republican bill in the Alabama legislature for a lottery. You say, come on, Sullivan. So the tells coming out of Montgomery now, a Republican lotto bill, a Republican Medicaid expansion bill, and I don't know if it's going to be a Republican, the gas tax bill. Like I said, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be groups like Sunny and representing counties, so many smaller counties in Alabama, not in geography, but in population, versus the big urban counties. That'll be the battle. So you'll have, which makes things interesting, right? You'll have Republicans or Democrats from bigger metros working in concert against Republicans and Democrats from rural areas of the state. And I love it when stuff like that happens because it makes the conversation a little more interesting. Hey, coming up next hour, just a few minutes from right now, that earthquake registered 4.4 in magnitude up in East Tennessee overnight. We'll talk about that with a professor from University of South Alabama, Alex Beebe, and we'll talk about fault lines that maybe aren't so famous as the ones out on the West Coast. We'll do that when we come back.